Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. Hebrews 11, and I'll be reading verses 23 through 29. Let us hear the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. That's the reading of God's word this morning. In Hebrews chapter 11, the author has divided up his history of faith in the Old Testament into different eras. We first covered the era from creation all the way to Noah. And we have covered the second era, which is from Abraham all the way to Joseph, the era of the patriarchs. And now we move into the third era, which is the era of the Exodus. The era of the Exodus is shorter than the other two eras, because there's one main message here in this era, and that is freedom from Egypt. When we last left the Israelites, they were in the land of Egypt. They had wandered with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. They had wandered through the land. Joseph brought them into the land of Egypt. And now 400 years later, they are being oppressed. They are in the land of slavery. There are many missionaries from many liberal denominations who would interpret this section of Exodus and this section in the book of Hebrews in a much different way than the way we are going to look at it this morning. They would start out, if they were preaching one of these sermons in our church, which they won't, they would start out and they would say, look, the people reading the book of Hebrews were going through oppression. The government in which they were living was oppressing them as believers in the faith. And the author of Hebrews is writing the story of Exodus here to remind the people that at one time in history, God saved his people from slavery. He saved his people from oppression. And now in the book of Hebrews, he's reminding the people of this same story to remind them that they can have freedom from their government. Many liberal denominations are sending out missionaries into third world countries today, and they are giving the people of those countries a similar message. You can have freedom from your landowners. You can have freedom from the pain and suffering of the economic oppressor, your government, which is putting on you, because God, throughout history, exodused his church, so you can be exodused from this type of life and from this government. Which is oppressing you. You can be saved from slavery. If you belong to the church, this is what God will do for you. That is what we call liberation theology. Very common. Many missionaries go out into foreign countries and preach that very message. But this is not the message of Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, the author is using the old Exodus to describe the new Exodus. He is not referring to this to describe an era of political freedom. He is using the old Exodus included here in the halls of faith to describe an exodus from sin. This becomes more evident when you look at the things that the author of Hebrews has included in here that has not been included in the book of Exodus. In fact, if you look very closely, and we will in just a moment, verses 23 through 28 in this chapter of Hebrews, much of that is not included in the book of Exodus. You remember, perhaps, as I was preaching through Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the various ones, I was reading an Old Testament passage, and then I would refer to the New Testament passage and show how the faith was described in that Old Testament passage. But I'm not able to do that with verses 23 through 28 here in the book of Hebrews. Turn with me a moment to Exodus 2. Exodus chapter 2. And keep your finger in Hebrews as we do this. If you look at verse 23, it says, of Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, if you look at Exodus 2, look what it says. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And you folks know the rest of the story. Pharaoh's daughter comes, finds it, and of course takes this child and has his own mother raise him in the palace. Notice what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 23. It mentions that both of Moses' parents hid him. There's no mention of that in Exodus. It just talks about his mother. You notice that the focus of chapter 2, only two verses cover that he was born and hidden for 3 months. But when you read Exodus chapter 2, more of the focus is on the story of Pharaoh's daughter and how he was hid in the Nile River. But the author of Hebrews does not include that story here. Now look at verse 24, Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. No mention of that in Exodus 2. No mention, it says that he was raised in the palace as Pharaoh's daughter, but you do not see anywhere in Exodus 2 where it says that Moses chose to be identified with the Israelites. That's something that God has included in Hebrews and not in Exodus 2. Then if you look at verse 27 of Hebrews 11, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now look at verse 12 of Exodus 2. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I must have did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. The passage in Exodus would seem to indicate to us that when Moses killed the Egyptian, he was afraid and he ran. In Hebrews 11, it tells us that by faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. And he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And finally, verse 28 of Hebrews 11 describes Moses taking the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, the saving of the firstborn. Nowhere in the book of Exodus is the Passover of Moses taking the Passover described. There's the Passover of all the people, but not specifically mentioned that Moses, by faith, took the Passover. Well, now the question is, why? Some people would say, well, perhaps the author of Hebrews made an error. Perhaps the author of Hebrews didn't know the book of Exodus well enough. Perhaps he didn't have a good manuscript in which he could read and describe this. Perhaps he has made an error and made a mistake. But we know better, don't we? We know that this is God's word. We know that there are no errors, that this word is infallible. We know that the author of Hebrews, writing with the Spirit of God in his pen, did not make a mistake. We know that the author of Hebrews has included things here for a specific reason, different than what was included in the book of Exodus. And the question now is, why? What is his focus? From Hebrews 11, we learn, as we look at these verses, that the author of Hebrews clearly knows that the exodus from the land of slavery, from the exodus from the land of Egypt, is not referring simply a message that someday you can be freed from economic oppression, that someday you will no longer be enslaved to your landowner, that there is hope in the church that God will act and save you on this earth. The author of Hebrews knows that there was a greater picture here described in the book of Exodus, and the way and the things that he has included here in these verses is a direct indication that the Exodus that he is writing about is the description, a picture of a future Exodus which is greater. Let's look again at verse 23 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. From what we read in that verse, it would seem to us that there is an indication that Moses' parents received some type of revelation about Moses. Nowhere in Exodus is that described or is that written about. Nowhere do we have in Scripture where we know that God appeared to Moses' parents and said, Moses, this child you're going to have, name him Moses. He's not going to be an ordinary child. He's going to save the people from Egypt. Nowhere is there a story like that in Scripture. But from what we have here in Hebrews 11, we know that Moses' parents, both of them, not one of them, not just his mother, when Moses was born, they saw he was not ordinary. They saw that there was something special about Moses. They must have been given some type of revelation about this child and that they were to protect this child. And because of this revelation that they had, they were not afraid, as it says, of the king's edict. Now, why is this included here in Hebrews 11 and not the story of putting the baby Moses in the water into a little basket? Well, the reason is the author of Hebrews is making a connection here. The author of Hebrews includes both parents as having faith because he wants us to see that this exodus in the Old Testament is really pointing to a greater exodus. This exodus is pointing to Joseph and Mary. This exodus of the birth of Moses is pointing to the fact that Joseph and Mary had a king's edict to kill all the babies of Jerusalem. This passage is pointing to the fact that Joseph and Mary knew that Jesus was no ordinary child, that he was born of a virgin. They knew that because Jesus was born of a virgin, because of the revelation they had received, they were not afraid of the king's edict, and they went off to Egypt by faith. The story of Moses is pointing to a greater Savior. The leader of the Exodus, Moses, is pointing to a greater Exodus, which is in Christ. Now look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Moses could have grown up and been known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have, as being raised in the palace, could have been known as the next person who was going to be Pharaoh. I grew up in Pharaoh's house. I have been adopted as Pharaoh's own grandson. Someday I could enjoy being the Pharaoh. But Moses made a choice, says the author of Hebrews. He chose to be mistreated along with his own people. He chose to be with the slaves. Moses saw that being with the slaves was better than all the pleasures of this world. And not only does it say the pleasures of this world, but to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Moses saw something greater in those people of Israel, even though they were in slavery, even though they were oppressed. Jesus came Jesus, the new Moses, came and he chose to be identified with his people. He could have come into the world as a savior and preached freedom from economic oppression, freedom from the Romans. He could have gone into this world and led an Israelite army against the people of Rome as the Israelites wanted him to do. But instead, Jesus chose to be identified with God's people. He chose to live a life in this world of sin and misery. He chose to suffer death along with God's people. He chose to suffer persecution. The Lord Jesus Christ came in and, like Moses, saw hope in these people, saw hope in his people, those enslaved to sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 26, he regarded, says Moses, for the sake of Christ, disgrace as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Verse 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, it says, Moses left Egypt. Now, before we read that Moses left Egypt and he was afraid of the king's anger. And so it seems to indicate in Exodus that he ran away. But we know from the author of Hebrews that Moses did not fear for long. There may be an indication there. But as you look at the end of verse 27, it says, he did not fear the king's anger, but he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses may have been afraid initially at first. But what it says in the description of the persevering is that he did not stay afraid for long, even if he was afraid. Moses persevered. He had the kind of faith that even though the king had wanted to kill him and was angry at him, Moses persevered because, what? He saw him who is invisible. Moses had his eyes on God. Moses had his eyes on the one who could save him from death. Moses had his eyes further as he lived in the present, further on the future world which was invisible. Well, Jesus came into this world. He came into this world. He had those after him. Moses ran off into a desert. Jesus was sent off into a desert. He was tempted by Satan, his enemy, who tried to tempt him away. When he came back into Israel, the Sanhedrin was after him. They tried to kill him and eventually did. But he persevered. By faith, it says, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Jesus persevered. He suffered. He came out of the desert. He kept his eyes on God. But now comes verse 28. And look at the description of this verse. By faith, Moses saw him. Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Moses, in this verse, the description is given that Moses is not the final savior. The reason the author of Hebrews includes this verse is that Moses also had to take the Passover. God was going to save his people through this final plague, the 10th plague. Through this plague, the Egyptians would say to the Israelites, leave us, stay away from us before more plagues, before more suffering comes to us. And Moses could not bring the people out on his own. Moses also had to take the Passover. Moses also had to eat of the lamb. Moses was not the final savior. Moses' life pointed to the lamb. It was through this death and resurrection of Christ that salvation came, that a true exodus was able to come upon us and upon God's people. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. By faith, Moses knew that he was not the answer, but that his life pointed beyond. This is the story of the Exodus, and this is what the author of Hebrews wants us to hear. He doesn't want to point to us to say, we need to hear a sermon this morning how God can save us from oppression, from slavery, from all the things which hinder us as we live in this world. But this is a story of the Savior. This is a story of an exodus not from slavery, but an exodus from sin. It was Jesus who came into this world and was born of a virgin. It was Mary and Joseph, his parents, Jesus' parents, who went off to Egypt. It was Jesus who identified himself with us, who identified with those who were in slavery to sin, who did not sin, and because of his exodus, set those free from sin. He kept his eyes on God. It was Jesus who suffered the death on the cross, who gave the Lamb, who was the Lamb, so that an exodus could occur. But now look at this last verse. Look at the description that is given of this exodus. Verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. In the Old Testament, when we read of a passing through water, there is a passing from the old into the new. When the Israelites passed through the Red Sea, they were passing from a land of slavery through the water into a life of sojourning. They had to wander in the wilderness. When they got to the Jordan River, they passed through the Jordan River. They passed through water from sojourning into the promised land. And when Jesus came into this world, he was baptized in the Jordan. And after he was baptized, after he had come through the water, it was the ending of the Old Testament, and he began to preach the kingdom of God. He preached, repent and believe. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There was a passing from the old into the new. When the Israelites came out of the land of slavery, when God had rescued them, they passed from the old through the Red Sea, as it says, on dry ground. But what happened to those others? The Egyptians who did not have faith, the Egyptians who tried to follow them and tried to chase them down, when they tried to do so, they were drowned. God had elected Israel. God had rescued them from their sin and misery, as we just learned this morning in the catechism. God had taken them through the water and brought them into a life of sojourning. This story this morning is not just a story for economic oppression, for freedom from slavery. This is a story that is our story. This is a story of a Savior who came into this world, who by the blood of him that was shed on the cross gives new life. He's the one who brought the end of the Old Testament into the New Testament. This is the Savior who we are baptized in his name. When we are baptized, there is a passing through the water. The passing of the old life of sin and misery into the new life. The symbol of going through the water is the description of Israel going through this Red Sea. And who goes through this Red Sea? It says the people by faith. As a community, they did this. As fathers, as mothers, as children, they passed through this Red Sea and they entered into the new life of sojourning. This is our story. We believe by faith in the one who is invisible. We believe by faith that the Passover that the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross has rescued us, has exodused us from this old life of sin and misery to a new life of hope and of sojourning and of wandering. It is the faith in this exodus that gives us hope, not in freedom on this earth, but hope of what God has for us in heaven. And so now, here we are. We've been through the Red Sea. We're sojourning around, and God has given us a blessing. He has given us a supper this morning that is going to point us back to what Jesus has done on that cross. a supper which is going to strengthen us and encourage us in Christ as we live our lives here on this earth, a supper which points back to the exodus that Jesus gave us, to the life and the strength that we have as we sojourn, as God gave the Israelites manna from heaven, as God gave them water from the rock, so our Lord Jesus this morning will give us bread from heaven, a bread which is from his hand, wine which is his blood, that we will, as Christians, partake in and enjoy the exodus that he has given us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look at this story this morning, we see our lives. We see, Lord, that without Christ, we would be in sin and misery. There would be no hope for us on this earth or in this world. But because of our Lord Jesus and what he has done, he has saved us and brought us to himself. He has given us a new life, not of slavery to sin, but a new life of living for him. And those of us, Lord, who are here struggle many times with the falling back into the slavery to sin. And Lord, we know that through Christ and through what he has done, we cannot be stuck in that. But he has given us strength that we can overcome. Help us, Lord, to persevere. Help us, Lord, to look to him, to know that it is through him and him alone that we have hope, that he has rescued us, that he has given us new life. May we enjoy this morning. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.